So I want to finish Luke, or our study in Luke. I've titled it Christmas Prayer. This is part three. I've subtitled it The Greatest Gift, because I've been coming to us about the whole Christmas story starting in Luke chapter one. And as if God was very clearly showing us what Christmas is all about. When he started in Luke chapter 1 with Zacharias and Elizabeth, excuse me, they weren't clamoring to God about a certain late model donkey that they wanted, you know, or, you know, some oxen that could pull their plow, or they could make their business better. It wasn't about that at all. They were crying out for something that no one on earth could give them. Absolutely no one. They were crying out for a son. I'm going to belabor it. I'm going to keep saying it because it bears repeating. That God gives the best gifts, hands down, period. And we have already, everyone here, has already been recipients of God's greatest gifts. Oh, God. Hey. Woo. We've already been recipients. But you know, a gift isn't a gift if you don't know how valuable it is to you. You can have something so valuable and not even know it, right? And yet God has given us the greatest gifts. I had probably the one of the greatest gifts in my life temporarily right now has been taken from me, removed, and gone a few states south. Amen. And I get on Zoom, I get on the Meet app, and I say, baby, I miss you. Looking at you, I miss you. And, you know, my wife said, well, you know, honey, you used to get on my nerves, but you don't get on my nerves now. I said, I know, baby. I know. Hey, I'm telling you, hey, look here, look here. Hey. I said, yeah, baby, you don't get on mines the way you used to either. Amen. Look here. Hey, look, anybody married in here, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like it ain't true. Come on now. Hey, listen. God said, this pandemic, I'm going to fix a whole bunch of things with this pandemic. Hey, look here. Oh, yes. Come on now. And so, but the greatest gift, God's greatest, I always say this, people give things as gifts. God gives people. Okay? Let me, for my whole life going forward, my life is forever changed with that one thing. God gives gifts. Even the wise men, when they came to baby Jesus, they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But what did God give us? His only son. People give things, but God gives people. Don't ever forget that, and let it, and just take time and meditate on it and go through your life and look at all the gifts God has given you and give God thanks and praise, especially if they're alive with you now where you can still honor them and bless them, amen, and thank God for them. And so we were looking at how God put Zacharias and Elizabeth in a place that caused them to cry out, that caused them to enter to the place of prayer. And then listen, church, make no mistake about it. What God did then, he's doing now. Hello. Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted a child. They began to cry out to God for it. But in their crying out, God also had something he wanted. He wanted a prophet, a forerunner for his son, Jesus Christ. And so in allowing them to go through what they went through, he gave them, he accomplished what they wanted, but he also got what he wanted. Let me tell you something. When God allows something to happen in your life, it's not only what you want. This is what we don't get. Sometimes we don't get about prayer. When we go to prayer, we are not only crying out for what we want, we are crying out for what he wants. Jesus said, Father, nothing is impossible with you. And if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. See? And so God gave Zacharias and Elizabeth this son, John. But you see, God didn't stop there. This is what I love so much about him. Amen. I see it in my everyday life. he didn't stop there, because last week we learned that after God gave them this son, John, Elizabeth is pregnant with John. And Mary comes over now. And Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and she greets her. The Bible says that the babe in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy and was filled with the Holy Spirit. So God gave Zacharias and Elizabeth John, a person. But God didn't stop there, because he filled John with the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We looked at this last week. Then the Bible says Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. God gave them another person. Not just John, but he gave them the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He's done the same thing for you and I. The Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, how you love him. Oh, how we love you, Holy Spirit. It's the only way you and I can pray, our Father. The only way we can call him Father is because of the spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit that God gave us that we never asked for. The Holy Spirit that God gave Zacharias and Elizabeth that they never asked for. But because God always gives the best gifts, he gave them the Holy Spirit. All right. Why did he give them the Holy Spirit? It's because God's will is in revealing and giving himself for us that we might be saved. Now, I want to share a picture of this. God giving the best gifts in a saint here in the church. As I got wind of our brother Daniel here being considered for Teacher of the Year at Poplar Tree. Amen. Amen. And I asked him about it. I said, well, you know, what do you mean? Talk to me. And he sent me something that I wanted to read. Concerning this, because and as I read this, remember this, God always gives the best gifts. And so our brother is a gift. Our brother is a gift. Our sister is a gift. And God has given us, okay, just like he gave his ultimate gift, his son. Listen to this. Daniel's role is truly an amazing asset to our Poplar Tree school community. Especially during these demanding times, he has been working diligently to provide us, his colleagues, both academic and emotional support. First, as our mathematics lead teacher, he has shared his experience by creating an informative math module site, hosted a staff Q&A session, met with individual teachers many times to plan virtual instruction, includes a weekly math update in our staff newsletter, and produce perfectly timed videos addressing topics that are causing frustration. God has given a gift to Poplar Tree Elementary. Daniel's ability to respectfully and generously collaborate with his fellow educators is wonderful. He knows how to calm our fears. I read that and said, wait a second. Wait a second. That sounds familiar. Does that sound familiar? He knows how to calm our fears and reassure us that we can do hard things. That has the handprints of God all over it. That sounds to me like God is giving himself through the gift that he has given. See, that's what God does. In addition, Daniel makes it his mission to get to know each and every one of his students in a deep and meaningful way, creating a caring culture where students feel valued and important. Daniel records weekly motivational concept-related videos to send out to his students and their families. And I have received these videos. And I get lifted up. I say, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother, you're doing a good job. Keep doing what you're doing. Hey, it's good stuff. During these videos, he shares his own experiences and allows the students to see him as, quote unquote, a real person. Recently, Daniel realized after doing a check-in with his class that one of his students has been having a difficult time feeling like he fit in. Without hesitation, Daniel promptly wrote an encouragement letter to his student, sharing some of his own struggles and challenges when he was a young student. Even though it was early on a Sunday morning, Daniel drove to the student's home and left the letter on the door that very day. As this child read this letter, I am sure he knew his teacher was extremely thoughtful and he would be there to support him whenever needed. The student's mom shared with Daniel that this act of kindness meant the world to her son and their entire family, especially since they were new to the Poplar Tree School community. This is just one example of how Daniel truly goes out of his way to show his students he is devoted to their emotional, social, and academic well-being. Daniel is an amazing instructional leader, avid collaborator, talented educator, but most of all, a loving teacher who truly goes out of his way to make sure his students know that they can count on him to be there for them even during a pandemic. He deserves to be Poplar Tree's Teacher of the Year. Hey, and when I read that, I was like, that's what I was preaching, Lord, last week. This is exactly what I've been preaching, that God gives the best gifts. He gives people, you see. And when David Morales last year, when he was at serving at his school in Falls Church for the school system for 20-some, almost 30 years, I can't remember how long, when he came and retired, their teachers came to him crying, literally crying. You know why? Because if you know David Morales, David Morales goes to work singing, you know, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. He goes singing and he's full of joy and full of the love of Jesus. And people began to get a glimpse that they're going to live life without him. And teachers were weeping and sobbing because they saw what a great gift he was to them. Amen. And so God gives the greatest gifts, and he does it by giving people to us. Okay? Why is this? Of all of God's creations in the 6 days of creation, his greatest gift was man, because male and female was made in the image of God. Amen? And so, in other words, God revealed himself in creating us because he stamped his image on us. God is relational, you see. He's relational. And throughout all of eternity, you and I are going to be in this perfect relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where their love is perfect for one another, where there's no contention. Come on. It is, oh my goodness. Eye hath not seen, neither has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. So he's revealing these things to us by his Spirit. God created us so that we might know him, obey him, enjoy him, and rule with him, right? And so thus, man finds his very life, his greatest satisfaction and joy in knowing God. And if God isn't our life, if he isn't our satisfaction and not our joy, well, life is going to be miserable. That is why God said to the children of Israel on top of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Why, God, are you trying, you want to take the fun out of life? No, because if you have any other gods before me, you won't have life to have fun with. I am your life. That's what God was saying, right? I am your life. In Deuteronomy 30 and 20, Moses says that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Christ, who is your life. Colossians chapter 3. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He is our life. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, the great commandment, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Why? Because the creator of your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the Lord. And so it is only right that we love him and worship him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so he's given himself to us. And make no mistake about it, it's always been that way. Ephesians says there was no one when Christ came, there's no one clawing up saying, God, please have mercy on us, please forgive us. It wasn't that way. We were down here knee deep in sin, running around trying to get into more, trying to find more stuff that we could do when Christ came and rescued us from our darkness. Listen at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Paul says this, do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. I'm mentioning this because it bears repeating. That the Paul said through the scripture, you know, we think marriage is special because it is a revelation of who God is. But let me tell you something. Anybody you sleep with, you become one flesh with. You can become one flesh with anybody on this planet of the opposite sex. You can become one flesh. Now, that's not God's will. His will is that we enter into marriage. But what I want to get to is this. He says that for the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You can become one flesh with anybody, but you can only be one spirit with one person. You can only become one spirit with one person, and that is what he ordained you for. You can only become one spirit with God. Period. End of story. You can share your body, you can become one flesh with anybody, but you can only share your spirit with him because he created us for that very thing. Amen? Nowhere in the scriptures do you see where the scripture says God is one spirit with an angel. You don't find it because an angel is not his bride. The church is his bride. And he's going to become one spirit. We are one spirit with him. Right? That's very important because it exalts the relationship that we have with God. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30, Jesus says, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven." Why is there no marriage in heaven? The reason why there's no marriage in heaven is because our relationship with God supersedes the earthly marriage relationship, and it is done away with. It's like it fulfills it. You understand? And so there's no longer a need in it. Why? Because on earth, the person closest to you in your life will be your spouse, whom you are one flesh with. Okay? But they can't get closer to you than God. And in heaven, God is going to totally fulfill us and be our closest companion, therefore marriage will no longer be needed. Somebody is rejoicing in that future state. Amen. It's okay. We'll get it. We'll get it. So what I'm trying to say is that God has given us himself. He's given us himself, the greatest gift of all. He's given. Now, I'm not saying you don't enjoy marriage. Amen. You do enjoy marriage. You enjoy it as it beats you to death. You enjoy it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was designed to kill you. It was designed to lay you at God's feet crying out, God, I'm dying. He said, yeah, keep on with it. Keep on with it. Because that's the only way your spouse is going to live, for your flesh to die and let Christ live through you. Okay. And so that's the process. Had a couple come to me one time years ago. Pastor, we feel like this thing about to blow up. Please help us. I said, okay, you need to die and you need to die. And they sitting there looking at me like, as Zelda's husband would say, looking at me like a dog with a new dish. Like, what are you saying? And I had to break it down for them. Amen. They're still together today. Glory to God. I think they got it. Amen. And so, you know, God has given us himself. And we are to value him supremely above all things. He did so in the garden with Adam and Eve. You know, he created them in his image. He gave them the mandate to rule, to be fruitful, and to multiply. And they said, okay, no, God, we think we can handle this on our own. We don't need you for this. We got this. And so what happened when they fell? God came, the great initiator. God came and he gave himself to them all over again. But it was different this time. He gave himself to them through a slain lamb. God was the first one to take a life on this planet. He took that life so that all others might live. He did it in the Adamic covenant. He did it. Remember Noah? The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 6, that man was so wicked that God was grieved that he had ever even created man. And so he said, I'm going to destroy all flesh. But the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so in the Noahic covenant, God came to Noah and he revealed himself. But he didn't stop there. In Genesis 12, in the Abrahamic covenant 13, God came to Abraham. God came to him and revealed himself to him. Didn't stop there. In the Mosaic covenant, God comes to Moses on the backside of that desert, Moses tending sheep, and all of a sudden he sees a bush on fire but not being consumed. And God comes to Moses and says, Moses, you're going to take my people out of Egypt. But he didn't stop there, because in the Davidic covenant, God comes to David. David says, Lord, I want to build you a house. He says, no, you're not going to build me a house. Your son's going to build me a house. And God established the Davidic covenant with David, whom David's son, his eternal son, Jesus Christ, fulfilled. And the last covenant, and this is why, I don't want to be political, but let me just get this in here. These folks saying, should I do it, Lord? Amen. The last covenant that God established with man, the last covenant, people say America got a covenant with God. I'm sorry. Let me help you. Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Period. That was the last covenant God established with man. And there's people believing that America's some special nation that has some special covenant with God. I'm telling you right now, put that idol down. Put that idol down and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He's coming back for his church. He's not coming back for America. That's the truth. That's the truth, church. And so when he comes with the new covenant, he comes to Israel first, to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile, because he came for the Gentiles too. Amen. So John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what Christmas is all about. He gave his greatest gift, the person of his son, Jesus Christ. I love 2 Corinthians 5:19. Listen to this. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He said, I couldn't find an intercessor. I couldn't find anybody who would do, who longed for righteousness and justice. Therefore, I clothed myself with righteousness and justice. And I came and did it. So what we see here is that the greatest gift God gives us is himself in the person of his son. When all mankind had fallen short of the glory of God, he sent his only begotten son into the world that the world through him might be saved. This obviously is what Christmas is all about. So let me just run through and I'll be done. All right. I'm going to take a little bit. I ain't need too much, Bob. I think I'll be all right. So let me just say this. Just as God prepared, remember now, as Zacharias and Elizabeth, he prepared them to receive John. How so, do you say? Well, they prayed and they persevered for years. Some of you been praying for some things for years. You say, but God, is it ever going to look? Come on, we're no different than the Old Testament script, the saints and the people in the book. You've heard of the patience of Job. Amen. James tells us. And so God used that to prepare Zacharias and Elizabeth for the coming of John. Just as he did it then, he also prepared Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, and the representative of the Gentiles, the wise men. He prepared all of them for what? The coming of his greatest gift to man. He prepared them for them to be able to receive his son, Jesus Christ. So you remember the story with Mary after Elizabeth says to her, she says, blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And blessed is are you because you believe the report that you receive. And then in Luke chapter 2, the Bible has recorded Mary's song, where Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Mary goes off into this hymn, this beautiful hymn of exaltation of our Lord Jesus, of our Father in heaven. Why? Because God had gone before her and prepared her through the arrival of Gabriel, who comes to her and says, hail. Hail, Mary. Thou art favored highly among women. And the angel shows up to her. Ladies, how would you like it if you were a virgin and you just engaged? And all of a sudden, an angel shows up in your bedroom and says, you're about to get pregnant. And she's saying, but how that's going to happen? I don't even know a man. Well, don't you worry. God going to take care of it. But you, and then you sit there going, well, hold it. But my husband, but my fiance, if I'm, but God prepared her. God prepared her for her to be able to receive the greatest gift of all. For her to be able to become like no other woman in recorded history. Like no other woman who's ever lived. God prepared her. And see, this is what, you know, God is so, he's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. He's so lovely because he's preparing, just like he prepared Mary, he's preparing people today that they might know that his son is coming into their life. His son is going to come out of him. As a matter of fact, you and I are in the same stead as Mary, because just as God birthed him in her womb and she brought him out, so God has birthed Christ in your eternal spirit, and he wants his son to be manifested and lived in your life every day. This is what God is doing. He's always been doing it. He will always continue to do it, so that the glory might be of God and not of us. Amen. And so Mary was able to receive this revelation. Why? Because God prepared her. He didn't stop with Mary. He went on to Joseph, because now Mary, you know, she's showing. And Joseph, the Bible says, is a righteous man. And Joseph, not wanting to make her a public spectacle, because if he did make her a public spectacle, what could happen to her? She could be killed. She could lose her life. And I tried to put myself where Joseph was. I said, my God, look at him. And it was like, it was the Holy Spirit's always reminding me, it's always God first. It's always God first. And listen, if we do anything righteous and noteworthy, it's because God went before us and gave us the platform, or gave us the ability to do it. You know, because there's nothing good in us. Nothing good, right? And so Joseph has his fiance who is growing in pregnancy. And the Bible says that he wanted to put her away secretly. But this is the part I love. It says, while he thought about these things, while he thought about these things. Listen, you and I find ourselves right there where Joseph was. You know, you're going through life. Challenges are facing you. And you start thinking about these things. And I just want you to know, God sees. God knows. your thoughts are not without him. When in Psalm 39, where he says, every thought in my heart, you know all together. You know all together. And so in our thoughts, we are not alone. He is with us, right? And so while he is thinking about these things, the scripture says that he had the angel appear to him in the dream. And he said, do not be afraid to take unto you your wife Mary, because that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph rejected God's way in the beginning because he didn't understand what God was doing. But Joseph ultimately humbled himself under the mighty hand of God in accepting Mary and the pregnancy ordained by God. Why? Because God prepared him. Because God didn't just prepare Mary, he prepared Joseph to receive the greatest gift of all. What if Joseph had said, no, I'm just not with that. I'm out. And he would have missed. He would have missed raising. He would have missed the presence of Jesus in his life. Come on. God is the one who prepares you and I so that we might constantly have the presence of Jesus in our life. And if he doesn't prepare us, church, we're not prepared. But he's doing it like he did it in the life of Joseph, that we might be able to say, and listen, Joseph, God revealed himself and prepared him to such an extent that Joseph denied himself for 9 months and exalted the Christ. The Bible says that he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. Now, I'm going to tell you, any man here, that's God. I'm going to tell you right now, that was God. Hello. God didn't stop with Joseph. He went on to the shepherds. You know, I think we read part of it last week where it says that the shepherds were watching over their sheep by night. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up and begins to declare to them the birth of a Savior. And the shepherds, after the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. In other words, the Lord prepared the shepherds now, watching over their flock by night. And why the shepherds? Why didn't the angel go up into the halls of government? Why didn't the angel appear to the soldiers? Why didn't the angel go into the temple and stand up on the high priest and say, this day? No, the angel goes to the lowliest of people. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey! He goes to the lowliest. Why? Because Christ, who was the king, when he came to the low, he identified with us in our low estate. And he wasn't born in the palace. He was born in a manger, in a stable, in a manger. And he humbled himself. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself to become a servant. Philippians 2 tells us. The scripture says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And just like when God saved us, when God prepared us and saved us, the first thing we did, I know the first thing I did was I couldn't shut up. I was telling everybody who would listen. Can I talk to you? Walk into a laundromat. See a dude sitting down. I can see it like it's yesterday. Laundromat right to the left of Dart Drug. Amen. On Maple Avenue in Vienna. Walk in the door. Amen. Look around. See a guy sitting here all by himself. I walk up to him. May I share about Jesus Christ with you? No. I said, all right. Next, you know, but anything that moved, anything that breathed. Listen, he wasn't rejecting me. Know your Bible. He wasn't rejecting me. I wasn't hurt. I was full of joy. I was so full, I couldn't, you know, it's like a fire shut up in your bones. You couldn't shut up. I'm like, hey, well, it doesn't matter. You may not get it. Somebody else is going to get it. Somebody else is going to get it. But I got to tell about this joy. I got to talk about this light. I got to talk about all my sins being forgiven. I got to talk about heaven receiving me. I got to talk about the Holy Spirit who I hear, who helps me, who strengthens me. I got to talk about it. And the shepherds couldn't shut up. And the scripture says, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And so my brother Tim, who sits on the front row here often, 30-some years ago, we're working in dark drug together. And I don't know, I'm 19, 20, and I can't shut up about Jesus. And Tim keep coming over and talking to me. And I said, man, you need to come to church and get saved and know Jesus. And next thing you know, Tim come to church and he got saved and know Jesus. He's been walking with Jesus ever since. All because God prepared somebody who's ain't going to shut up. It's like the shepherd says, look, we got to tell somebody about Christ our Savior. And he's doing the same thing in you and I. He's been doing it. He's going to continue to do it. But God didn't stop with the shepherds. He went on to Simeon. You remember Simeon? He had heard from the Holy Spirit that you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. I don't know when Simeon heard it, but I'll tell you what. I bet you Simeon prayed and he persevered and he waited. Just like you and I, when we pray and persevere, every now and again you say, like John the Baptist said, are you the one? Did I hear right? Did you say, Lord? You know, it's been a while. You know, and the longer you wait, sometimes doubt wants to creep in and all. I'm sure Simeon went through that. Simeon's hope was literally resting on seeing the child that God by his Spirit had promised that he would see. And Simeon, on a certain day when the Christ was brought in to be circumcised, Simeon sees him and the Spirit of the Lord says, that's him. That's him. And Simeon walks over to the young child. 8 days old, picks him up in his arms. I can imagine Simeon like, oh, Father, thank you. I've seen, he said, let your servant now depart in peace because I have seen your salvation. So he prayed and he waited patiently. He waited patiently and saw the promise of God fulfilled in his life. God didn't stop there. He went on to Anna. Remember Anna, the prophetess, a widow, whom when she came into the temple, the Bible says she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. There are a lot of people in Israel looking for redemption. There's a lot of people today. They don't know it, but they're looking for redemption. And God's prepared, just like he prepared Anna, he's preparing us to take the message that she took. Listen, the one you're looking for is Jesus. The one you're looking for is Jesus. I'll repeat, 3 years ago, was it three? Going to a lady's house to clean her carpet, open up the front door, and there the house looked like, literally, it looked like a bomb had blown up in the living room. I mean, there was stuff everywhere. And I thought to myself, oh, well, there's no carpet cleaning going on here today because I can't even get to the carpet. And when I thought that, I said to the Lord, Father, why am I here? Why am I here? And about 30 minutes to an hour later, these women, I said to them, after sharing the gospel, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? They said, we would very much like to receive Jesus Christ. One of the girls named Victoria was 5 months pregnant. She said, we just two Catholic girls. We don't know anything. I said, Jesus Christ. And I preached the gospel to them. And I said, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, right as I said, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost hit this woman on the left. She said, oh, what is that? I said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon my sons and my daughters. They were feeling the Holy Ghost. We didn't even get to with the prayer. See, it's like Acts chapter 10 of Cornelius, when Peter goes to preach the gospel, says, while he's preaching, Holy Ghost, people didn't get their boha shut, Holy Ghost fall on people. Peter like, well, wait a second. I'm not even done preaching the gospel yet. God had come in on the gospel and said, okay, Peter, you're done. I get, you know, I'm taking over. I got this. And so those young ladies, they got born again. They were loving Jesus when I left that house. Amen. Why? Because God had prepared them to receive his son. He's doing the same today. And let me mention the last one, and I close. It was 2 years, they say, thereabouts, when, because all those people were Jews, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, Simeon, Anna. But God in his goodness. They say when Jesus was a small baby that there was a star in the east. And they said wise men from a far country, wise men saw the star and that they understood it to be a star of a king. And it says in Matthew 2:1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And what do these people represent but you and I? Gentiles. Because you see, God said the gospel is to the Jew first, but also to the Gentiles. And God had prepared these men's heart through a star, which by coincidence, which you find, I'm sure Bill could tell us a whole lot more about this than I could, but I thought I would delve into a little bit. Have you heard about the Christmas star this year? They're talking about the alignment of Jupiter with Saturn and how they align, and they're much brighter in the night sky. And they say that this is what was the star that was so bright that the wise men were following in that day. It wasn't just a one star. It could have been the planets that were aligned and presented themselves in such a way as to be so bright. Amen. And so the scripture says in Matthew 2:9, when they heard the king being Herod, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now let me tell you who was God in that star and the aligning of those planets and where the star came and it stopped right over where the young child was. God was preparing those men. He was preparing those Gentiles to receive his newborn son. And if God doesn't prepare you, you ain't prepared. If God doesn't go before you, you won't see him. Hello? And it said that when it came over where the child was, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And that has been the response of Gentiles, those called to know God ever since. We rejoice with exceeding great joy. And the scripture says, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they responded in worship and in the giving of gifts to the one who gave himself for us. Romans 12 says, that in the very likeness of Christ as he presented himself to us, Paul says, now you give your bodies as living sacrifices. As he gave himself for you, now you yield your bodies as living sacrifices to him. So as these Gentile wise men did, aren't we to do the same? Amen. Let's stand. Father, we worship you. Father, we bless you. Father, we stand in awe of you and all of your creation, all that you have done. We thank you, O God, for sending your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank you, O God, that you not only sent him, but you went before and prepared those Jews and Gentiles that they might be in the place to accept and receive and value your precious Son. And as you did then, so you're doing now. And we pray, O God, have it your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our midst, in our families, in our homes, in the workplaces. Lord, in our county, state, region, and nation, in the nations of the earth, oh God, may hearts be prepared to receive Christ as Savior, not only during this Christmas season, But Lord, every day of the year we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we ask it. And all God's people said amen. Amen, amen. Merry Christmas.